All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
And welcome to Geek Stuff, episode 12, The Apocalypse Wave.
Wait, what?
What?
What? The hell's it the Apocalypse Wave for?
Because it sounds cool. Apocalypse Wave.
No, it
the
doesn't.
The Apocalypse Wave.
You're an Apocalypse Wave.
You know what the Apocalypse Wave is?
I'm guessing it refers to the Marvel Legends line.
Was Marvel that wave Legends, 12? Wave 12. The right. Apocalypse Wave.
So this is what happens when we can't think of anything else. Now we just pick random.
We're just gonna
Legends waves.
We're just gonna have to find things. And you know what's even funnier
is
about
next
that?
Week's episode the Hot Rider Wave or whatever the hell that wave was called.
Wait a minute. Was that after?
I don't fucking know.
I don't remember what that wave was. The Legendary Riders Wave.
Ooh.
But I don't think that was 13.
I don't know.
I think that was 11.
Okay.
It's the Apocalypse Wave.
Can we get on with this episode?
I thought this is us getting on with the episode. We're discussing why we called it. This is the pattern. Now we're discussing why we call it the Apocalypse Wave. And now that's there.
Is that pattern done with? Can we move on to another pattern?
Sure.
All right.
Do you want to talk about this?
No, we got to save that. That's special.
Our Mr. Fantastic action figure.
Yo, that thing was a hit at Philly, man.
It sure was. I can't believe that we played, for those of you that don't know, we have our Mr. Fantastic action figure in studio. It is the it's the Fantastic Four Mr. Fantastic stretchy Stretch Armstrong like figure produced by Toy Shit Biz.
Right.
And what's funny about this is we did play with this all day this past Saturday at Wizard World Philly.
We did.
And I did not notice that his ingredients were on his feet.
I like the fact that his ingredients now are listed as non-toxic.
Non-toxic food grade corn syrup.
Because me and Fantastic were talking about this earlier, the real Fantastic, not the action figure. And
I saw you talking to the action figure.
Well, that's in during my alone time. But the Stretch Armstrong from when we were a kid, when that thing busted, and we all busted one of those at least at one point in time, you're going to bust it. That stuff definitely did not smell or look like corn syrup. That stuff, it
smelled and looked like what it was, toxic waste.
It congealed, right? Fantastic was saying how it was like self-healing.
Not mine. Do you know what I do with mine? Did I ever tell you that?
Would you melt it?
No. Worse. I left it in my mom's car in the winter, and it froze.
Oh, and then it cracked?
And I smashed it into like 1,000 pieces.
Ew.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Ew.
So anyway, we played with Mr. Fantastic, the action figure, not all day, but a lot. He was very popular.
And
thanks to all of the fans who came up and visited us at Wizard World Philly. We were glad to meet and greet with you. We hope that you had a good time at the show. We had a decent time at the show.
We did. We had a good time at the show.
I thought so.
Sure.
No, you can't touch him, Fantastic. if you touch your action figure, some sort of molecular thing will happen and the universe will end.
Some sort of time-space paradox where...
You can't touch old syrup guts. That's his nickname.
The real Fantastic can't meet the action figure Fantastic, or there'll be some sort of awful change in the future, and we'll all come back with like 12 arms and 47 eyes. And...
Such a long tangent about the action figure.
Anyway, let's get right into how we start these episodes normally.
Which is?
With some bits and pieces of information that we found online during the course of the past week. Or weeks.
That happened to be new.
Yes, new. Very good.
And you might, if you were to shorten the term and use a multiple version of it, you might call them the...
Current events.
Current events. Yes, very good. Exactly. Fantastic.
So let's get to the current events portion of episode 12, The Apocalypse Wave.
I don't think he wants you to call it the current events portion.
Tough. That's what I'm calling it now.
All right, shoot, my Bob.
Well, as an update to something we've talked about in the past during this segment, they released some information about the 3D portions of the Superman film in the IMAX that I thought we should talk about or at least bring up. They clarified a couple of things that we had mentioned, for example, what portions of the film would be in 3D and whatnot. And I was right. It was about 20 minutes of the film, random segments during the film. And it looks like the on-screen cue is going to be flashing little green 3D glasses. Again, can I stress how awful an idea I think this is?
Well,
I'm not going to say why, because the last time I talked about this, that's when the hate mail came in. Made my comments about people not being able to pay attention and behave in a movie theater, and
yeah,
it was misconstrued.
It's not misconstrued.
Shut
you said,
up.
You said you didn't like blacks and Puerto Rican teens.
Nothing's more immersive when you're watching a movie when they give you a message that says, now put on your glasses.
That would be great. If the movie actually spoke to you, that'd be fantastic. No pun intended. Anyway, we'll move right along to...
I you know what? How can you make that movie any worse? I'm all I'm looking forward is to seeing Kevin Spacey play Luthor.
That's about it. So if you remove him from the movie, that's how you make it even worse.
You know what? It's a crap premise. I was talking about this with friends over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's just a crap premise.
Well,
he's been in space for 5 years. Why? You know, he comes back now. Why? Well, all these questions will be answered if you give it enough time. Will it? I don't know.
That's where he's been, in space. It's not like he's been wrestling just, polar bears up in the Fortress of Solitude.
In space.
With the guards. And
just in space.
Right.
And he comes back, and Lois has a kid.
Nice. But I thought Superman couldn't bang.
No, it's Marsden's kid. It's
Kryptonite.
It's Cyclops' kid, which is really weird.
Anyway, we're going to move away from that awfulness and move right into the next bit of awfulness, which is the Fantastic Four 2 movie, because now we're going to have to spend the next year hearing all the rumors and bits and pieces of information that they're going to leak out about this movie.
I heard a pretty solid rumor on the Fantastic Four movie.
Which is?
It's probably going to suck.
Yeah.
Pretty solid rumor.
Yeah? Well, the rumor I'm talking about is the almost near confirmation of the Silver Surfer making an appearance in the movie.
Wait.
Silver Surfer.
Wait, who's in the movie?
The Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer, uh-huh.
Yes.
So does that mean Galactus is in the movie?
That has not been said.
Then why
would
you have
Silver
Surfer?
What they have said is that there's going to be some other villain in the movie, a new villain.
A new villain they've created for the movie?
No, just another villain. So it's not going to be Doctor Doom. Surfer's going to play a hero/villain, so he's going to have some sort of dramatic change, I'm sure, throughout the course of the film. And apparently,
probably what happens is when at the probably I'm guessing near the end of the movie, when he's fighting with his son and they're engaged in this climactic battle dueling with lightsabers, that he will realize that bad.
Wrong movie.
And that he will turn the good side and
wrong movie
and throw the Emperor into that electronic looking pit.
One's a dude all in black, the other all in silver. Different movie.
It could happen.
But they're saying that this is actually going to launch the Marvel Silver... Why can I not say this? The Marvel Silver Surfer movie, which is going to come out in the future, unfortunately.
Who's playing the Surfer?
Yes. They haven't announced that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Pretty solid rumor.
Pretty solid. Well, Jessica Alba actually said something about it in a recent interview.
Did she?
I'm trying to find the exact quote here. I have it. Of course I don't. Damn it. Yeah, the four of us learned that there are other people out there with superpowers and that the Silver Surfer appears as a villain slash hero. That's what Jessica Alba said. So. Right. So you what know do you have for us?
Avi Arad?
Yes.
Step down?
Is that true now or is that rumor?
No, I heard that was true.
Well, I guess before he stepped down, he did make another announcement about another Marvel movie, which would be, for those of you who don't know, I guess we should say who Avi Arad
is. The producer of all these Marvel movies, right?
Right. He's in charge of the film branch at Marvel.
Do you know what he used to be in charge of?
The figure lines?
Toy Biz.
Right. Right. Well, I guess before he stepped down, he did make another announcement during another interview in regards to Spider-Man 3, which also is going to be nothing, you know, lots of talk over the course of the next year or so. And that is apparently there's going to be a fourth villain in the film.
Oh.
But they haven't said who it is. Now, I have my guess. I have two guesses, actually.
So far it's Sandman, Venom, Carnage. Yes.
No, see now? It's not Carnage, I don't think.
Well, who's
it's
the...
It's Sandman,
yeah.
Venom,
uh-huh.
And the Green Goblin, or a carnation thereof. It's going to be...
Hopefully it'll be Hobgoblin.
Right. Well, that's the thought process.
It's got to be
so
Carnage.
The question is, who is the fourth? Well, according to what I've seen and just following the course of this movie since it's been announced, there are two distinct possibilities here. There is Electro, because Electro was the original rumored villain to be in the third film way back when they first announced Spider-Man 3, and then that was replaced with Sandman and then Venom. So it's possible that maybe he's still in the works someplace, although I don't think that's really the solid one. I think the Lizard is the solid one, because they've been toying with Kurt Connors now for the first two movies. He's definitely in the third movie. He's actually got a bigger role in the third movie. I know that for a fact.
Here's the only way that it would work.
Mm-hmm.
The only way it works is if in the first 5 minutes he fights Electro and beats him, and that's the last we see of him.
Okay, that's why I don't think it's Electro, but I'll tell you why I think it's going to be the Lizard. If we're going based on the premise that the Venom costume is similar to the Ultimate storyline, right, which it's not going to be the alien symbiote, it's going to be this other living organism type symbiote. In the Ultimate storyline, Dr. Connors is actually working at the university where Peter is going to school and he's studying, much like he is in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Connors actually, Peter is actually in the lab with Connors when Peter discovers the symbiote that his father and Eddie Brock's father had developed years and years ago. That's how the story is in the Ultimate books.
Okay.
So Connors is closely linked to that whole Venom storyline.
Right.
So if he's going to play a bigger role in there, and he is the Lizard, I'm thinking that's probably how they're going to tie him in. Now, how much we're going to see of him as the Lizard, I don't know.
Hmm.
Too early to say. But, what about you? What do you have for us this week?
I have extraordinarily exciting news in the comics world.
Which is?
Marvel, it's about a Marvel book, so right away you have to be suspicious that I would promote such a thing.
Sure.
But it looks like Neil Gaiman's second project for Marvel has been announced and is on the way sooner than one might think.
I've heard about this. The Eternals, right?
Yeah, and it's coming out June 21st.
Oh, wow, it's a couple weeks
first
away.
First issue, June 21st. It's written by Neil Gaiman, and it's drawn by Geek Stuff favorite John Romita Jr.
Right. Very, very good.
Very, very excellent news. And actually, I was reading an article on it, and one of the things... What they're going to do... Well, basically, The Eternals was a concept done by Jack Kirby a long time ago.
Right.
Legendary Jack Kirby, about these gods walking on Earth. And then it wasn't in Marvel continuity, but then after Jack died, it was. So it's kind of a... It's kind of a weird sort of thing. And then The Eternals and the Celestials. It's all these beings that are on Earth or in Earth or around Earth. It's one of those things.
Seems very appropriate for Neil Gaiman.
And it's the Eternals are a concept that has been pushed so far to the background, and I think that they're using that to kind of cover where have they been and so on and so forth. And I think they're creating or recreating or updating or something the whole history of the Eternals. It sounds really exciting. And the fact that Neil is writing it and the fact that John Jr. is drawing it only adds to the excitement about the project. I'm in hook, line, and sinker. I'm in. I'm doing the whole thing. You know, I'm sure what they're going to do. In fact, I know what they're going to do is they're going to collect all 19 issues of Jack Kirby's Eternals run and the Eternals annual in a massive $75 hardcover.
Oof.
Which is great. I mean, everybody should pick that up.
Right.
I mean, that's just a... First of all, Jack Kirby, to me, is an acquired taste. I don't really like a lot of Jack Kirby. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they, you know, and everyone will shit on me for this, but that, you know, a lot of it kind of looks the same.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I give Jack Kirby his due as far as, you know, being a huge creative force at Marvel.
Right.
But as far as his work is concerned, it's, you know, it's for its time, it was great, I'm sure. But compared to today's standards and some of the amazing talent that's out there now working for all the different companies.
Right.
You know.
No one's saying that Jack isn't a legend.
What we're
saying
not at all.
Is that it's just a little reminiscent of everything else that he does.
Right.
So, that being said, without bashing Jack, the late Jack Kirby anymore, I have to read, I have to do this one quote to you, which was just hysterical to me. You heard me reading this before, and I laugh for about 10 minutes.
Right.
Nick Lowe, who's going to be editing the book...
Okay.
Had a lot of comments to make. The article is in the Comic Shop News.
What issue number is that?
990.
Perfect.
Yeah, it actually has the Eternals on the cover. And has to be said. He said that Neil, when they're talking about developing the Eternals, he said, quote, Neil Gaiman and Joe Quesada had done a lot of talking about what Neil's second project for Marvel would be, because there is a deal in place for Neil to do, I want to say it's three projects for Marvel. They were talking about what Neil and Joe Quesada, Joe, who I saw this weekend in Philly, by the way, that night, he came over and shook my hand.
Oh,
obviously
good for you.
Does not listen to this podcast. I was Neil's...
You're a bumbling fool.
I am. Neil and Joe Quesada had done a lot of talking about what Neil's second project would be. They both wanted it. Now, here it comes. They both wanted it to be very strictly in Marvel continuity.
Can you define that for me?
Can anyone?
Can you use that in a sentence for me?
There is
I'll
no,
spell it if you can.
There's no Marvel continuity. What does that mean? That it will match up with whatever book Wolverine is in this month?
Right.
Like, it just...
It'll take place
right there,
over and around Civil War. That's what
right,
it means.
Right there, you've lost me in the sense that I really need to think that this book stands alone. I mean, if anything, this could be the book, this could be the springboard to relaunch Marvel continuity.
Now, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, but of course, that's not going to happen. No. Because also at Wizard Philly, Marvel announced something like 6 new titles.
Mm-hmm.
2 of which are X-Men related.
Of course.
Even though there's a moratorium on new X books, they've decided to go ahead and add 2 more. But they're now producing more X books than they did in the glut of the late 80s and early 90s, which they claim that they are not doing.
We'll talk to Retailer X about that one day.
Yeah. Oh, Retailer X had plenty to say about that today, my friend. I called him.
Did you?
Yep. He was in a bathhouse in Iowa. So, anyway... And, well, I think that's all to be said about the Eternals with Neil Gaiman. Look for it the end of the month, the 21st of June, and it'll be very exciting.
Okay. Well, I only had one other thing to talk about, unless you have something else you wanted to throw in there. Or...
No, go ahead.
Yeah. I watched the My Super Ex-Girlfriend trailer today.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. Looks kind of funny. Looks kind of quirky. This, of course, is the film starring Uma Thurman and Luke Wilson. It's got a couple other people in there. Wanda Sykes is in there. Eddie Izzard is in there. And it's pretty much about Uma Thurman, who plays, from what I gather in the film, some sort of superheroine who's kind of to herself. And Luke Wilson's character falls in love with her and then tries to break up with her. And silly chaos ensues. You know, she flies through the roof of his house and throws him into a bookshelf, and she's got some laser beams that come out of her eyes. And
was there a point to this?
She gets hit by a car.
Sounds like a good movie.
Yeah, that was the point. The point is that it looks kind of hokey. That was the point. I'm excited about Eddie Izzard being in it. That's about it.
I saw the trailer, and it was kind of, the trailer was like, you know, sets up a normal movie. You think it's going to be a love story or some kind of romantic comedy drama thing, and then it switches gears, and then it's like, she's a superhero.
Yeah. It's...
And everybody in the crowd is kind of like, wow, that sucks. That's it.
It seems like they're trying to really grab onto this superhero wave of movies that have been doing so good and trying to put like a spin on it with this all original type character storyline. And I just think it's going to be atrocious, really.
Anna Faris is in it.
That's right. Anna Faris is in it.
She's hot.
So, yeah,
I think.
So anyway, I don't really think it's going to be worthwhile. I don't know. I'll probably see it eventually, maybe when it comes out on DVD, but definitely not in theaters. But you should go to apple.com/trailers. Check out the trailer for yourself if you haven't seen it yet. And enjoy.
Start spreading the news.
Kev, we're going to be at the Big Apple Comic Book Art, Toy, and Sci-Fi Expo on June 24th and 25th.
Oh, God. Can't we just call it Big Apple Con? New
York, fine. Big Apple Con will be at the Penn Plaza Pavilion, located at 401 7th Ave at 33rd Street.
You can come check out the show. There'll be plenty of dealers of all types. Comic book dealers, toy dealers, some rare film dealers, all manner of things that you're looking for, you're going to find at the Big Apple Con. Not to mention the great celebrity guests that always appear at Big Apple Con. And this show will include Steven Seagal and the legend Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That's right. So go check it out at bigapplecon.com.
I'm sitting next to Piper at that show, I hope. I'll make a brand new start of it
in old New York. If I can.
And that music can only mean one thing, Matt.
Sure,
we're
going to
be talking about Pirates of the Spanish Main from WizKids.
No.
No?
Swashbuckler by GURPS?
Ew. Have we ever talked about Swashbuckler by GURPS?
I think we mentioned it.
No.
Like, yeah, we mentioned it like once or twice.
Did we?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it during the D&D segment, and we mentioned it with Retailer X, I think, also.
Oh, we may have. But actually, what we're going to talk about is the fantastic ongoing line from NECA, which is the Pirates of the Caribbean action figures.
Yes.
Series 3 is upon us.
Actually, Series 2 and 3 we have here today in studio. Cool. And then we also have Series 1 from Dead Man's Chest.
Ooh, do we?
Also. We do.
Ooh.
I have them over here by me.
Oh, is Series... She's in Series 2. Elizabeth Swann?
As a pirate? As is a in pirate. Series 2 of Dead Man's Chest, but
nice.
That's not out yet.
Those are the, I want those.
I know.
I want Keira Knightley action figures.
Let's talk about the ones we have.
But I want to. All right. I have, from Series 3, I have Elizabeth Swann.
Right.
Keira Knightley. This figure actually weighs more than Keira Knightley actually does.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty heavy. It's a good looking piece, too.
It is.
I want to add this to my collection of hot chick action figures that I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, you have all of the Michelle Trachtenberg figures.
I now have currently all the Michelle Trachtenberg action figures, of which there are three. Right. I have a complete set of Willow action figures. And actually, we found out this weekend that that is not true.
Nope, you're missing
that. I'm
couple.
Missing one.
Just one? Oh, just the one. Christmas one,
the
right?
The Christmas one. Those fucking bastards. Yeah. Again, they
You'll
put
get
out.
It.
I'll get it. Anyway, I'm very excited that I can add Elizabeth Swann to my collection.
Sure.
And I will add the Elizabeth Swann as a pirate from Dead Man's Chest series Douay.
Sure. Now, from that was actually Elizabeth Swann is in series 3 of that line. Series 2 of the line was
of Dead Man's Chest.
No, the Elizabeth Swann that you're holding
right
your
is
series three.
Of okay, yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes,
Pirates of the Caribbean. Is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Caribbean.
You sure?
Well, I go based on the ride which the movie was based on, and that was Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, I think I say Caribbean.
Yeah, I say Caribbean.
Caribbean.
But anyway,
it says Caribbean. Anyway, series three, Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, which is the first movie.
Right.
They're up to several now, it looks like.
Well, the thing that I really want to talk about is there are some figures in both of these waves. We're not going to talk about Dead Man's Chest just yet. There are some figures in Series 2 and 3 that really stand out. Series 2 would be Pimentel and Rigetti.
Pintel and Rigetti? Yeah.
Pimentel. It's like the center
you
of
are fucking Pimentel tonight. What is
wow?
What you are
a long day today.
Bumbling,
I am
just mushmouth idiot.
Can we start over?
No. Say it into the mic, fantastic. So I don't look like the only asshole.
They heard me.
All right. So from series two, the standout figures are Pintel and Rigetti, and from series three, I think it would be Elizabeth Swann and the Cursed Pirate, and I'll tell you why. Because the figures that I've failed to mention from 2 and 3, Series 2 would be Sirius Jack Sparrow and Will Turner.
Looks and like then, angry Will Turner.
Yeah. And then Series 3 is Smiling Jack Sparrow and another Barbossa.
Right, which is...
Why?
Yeah. Oh, well, I knew this is where we were going
now,
with this.
Now, I understand that there are not a lot of mainstream characters that maybe you can do. Although I would love to see some of the little peripheral side characters.
Right.
So don't do those side characters. I totally agree with that. I understand with a specialty line like this, they might not sell as well. This is where I have the problem.
Okay.
The Cursed Pirate in Series 3 and the Cursed Pirate from Series 1 are amazing. The sculpts are fantastic.
Right.
The paint jobs are fantastic.
Right.
Why not do more Cursed Pirates? Why, there are some really unique looking cursed pirates from that movie.
You know who I like?
Who?
The dreadlock guy.
And then there's the other tall black guy that's kind of
that guy leapt out to you, huh?
Yeah.
That's how you had to describe him? You know, the dreadlock guy was black, but I didn't have to mention that he was black. Couldn't you just say,
you know,
the taller guy and pick out some other feature?
Don't even go there.
Wow.
You're being awful.
I'm being awful.
And you're making me look awful.
I'm
tired of this.
You're leaping into stereotypes.
I'm not racist.
But I'm the problem.
Not racist. The point being that these cursed pirates look really, really good. Why not flesh out those? Why not put more cursed pirates in the line?
Well, there's a couple of things that I would like to comment on. First of all, you know that no matter what happens and what goes on, there's going to be a Jack Sparrow in every line.
Right.
Which I think is a mistake.
A huge mistake.
And probably what they should be doing is alternating him and Will Turner, because you know they're going to do it. There's been at least two of them already, isn't there?
Well, there has been, not including the Dead Man's Chest line, there are three Jack Sparrow figures.
Right.
Four if you include Cursed Jack Sparrow from the two-pack.
Right.
And there are two Will Turner figures, but the first Will Turner came with the with an alternate head. You had regular Will Turner, and then you had Snoop Dogg Will Turner.
Oh, I remember that one. I think I actually have that.
Yeah,
one.
The head sculpt on that Will Turner. Everybody that I've spoken to that has that figure, they're convinced it looks more like Snoop Dogg than it does Will Turner.
Word.
Than Orlando Bloom. So
I'm cool.
So I agree. I really think. And the Barbossa figure, really, there's not a whole lot difference between the first Barbossa and this Barbossa.
Well, which kind of, you know, it kind of really begs the question of, again, somebody made this decision.
Right.
I mean, we can sit here and without question justify Jack Sparrow being in every right. line, even though we don't agree with
right.
it. And if they're going to do multiple characters, why not say, okay, look, we're doing four characters a line,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's make that one slot
right.
a character we've done before.
Right.
So either you're going to do Jack, mm-hmm. and then you're not going to do another one, mm-hmm. another one that you've done before. Or you're going to do Will, and you're not going to do another one that you've done before.
Right.
Or you're in this case, you're going to do a Barbossa, but you're not going to do Barbossa that you've done before.
Right. Now, I would like to defend NECA on one aspect of these multiple Jacks, Wills, and Barbossas.
Well, we're not attacking NECA.
No, 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 I know, but I, well, kind of, a little bit.
We're just questioning.
Commenting. But I would like to point out, I guess, maybe it's a positive aspect, although you could see it maybe as a way to cover up the fact that you're releasing multiples of these figures. Series 2, Series 3 of Curse of the Black Pearl and the 2-pack all have bases that connect together to form this...
Voltron.
Yes, Voltron. To form this diorama of scenes. It's pretty much the cave scene from the right. end of the movie. And so all the bases kind of link together. Oh, and like, you know, the Pentel and Rigetti figures lock in there as well.
Right.
And Swan locks in there. So you kind of have this, you kind of get this whole scene. And that part of it is kind of cool. Kind of forces you to buy all the Jacks and Wills if you want to complete the scene.
Right.
But again, I think I would have rather have not had this big display and had other characters. You know, like an Admiral Norrington or something like that from the first,
right.
you know, who was right. the British captain that was after yeah. Jack and something. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many other characters I think you can do.
Well,
I don't know.
Again, it takes until Series 3 to get an Elizabeth Swann figure.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It takes until Series 3. There's been 3 Jacks, 2 Wills, and 2 Barbossas, but it takes till Series 3 to get Elizabeth Swann, who is ostensibly the third lead in the film.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, again, you know, there's no just... there. You know, what they will say is that there is a marketing justification to what they can do. They will... maybe they'll say it's Disney. Disney says they want this and that. And if that's the case, then, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. I'd rather have the figures than not have the figures.
Sure. Sure. So, I just question it. It's just confusing to me.
Well, I don't think there's an answer that we're going to approve of. First of all, no, there isn't. There isn't going to be one answer that's going to be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I accept that totally. And without question, no way.
Right.
You know, unless the answer is, yeah, well, we had Snoopy McDumbass working, making the decision, and he's since been let go. But that's not going to be the case. You know, there's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be marketing, and we have to have a jacket. It's not as bad as He-Man, but not as good as, you know, say, I'm trying to think of a good example.
I can't think of one.
Like a DC Direct line.
Right. Okay. Sure.
You know, where they don't, again, maybe not a great example because a DC Direct line is not really a mainstream line. But
right.
then again, this not a mainstream
no,
line.
Certainly not.
And how do we know that?
Because of where it's sold.
And Sizzle.
Right. Right.
Let's get into that.
Zizzle is a company that is putting out, is also putting out Pirates of the Caribbean toys. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of different scales, I believe.
Yes.
There is a
scale that matches
right,
this.
Right, which is a what? A
6-7?
Six, 6-7 inch scale. There is a 3 3/4 scale.
Right.
And then I think there's an even tinier scale for some of the little, like,
play sets.
Like, play sets and stuff like that. Zizzle is cornering the children's market for this movie.
Right.
So these are the Pirates of the Caribbean figures that you're going to find in Walmart, KB,
and they
Toys R Us.
And they are full of Target, full of them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And I don't care for them.
They feature some 4 or 5 points of articulation.
You know what I was really looking at the Jack Sparrow one the other day, which if I had to take one from the line, it would either be Davy Jones or Jack Sparrow. If I had to have one in my collection just to have one,
you mean
it would
like
be one of those
for example, two. If I put a gun to your head and said, buy one of these figures.
Right. Those would be the two.
Is that Davy Jones one that has like a barnacle leg or arm or something like that?
Yeah, he's right over there.
I actually have the NECA version of him right here that we're going to talk about in a sec if you want to see him.
Who's fantastic.
I saw one and it was at Target. I thought it was like the ugliest figure.
That's the Zizzle
ever.
One.
I thought that was terrible.
And let me tell you why. Because they're on top of there being not as much detail work as there is in an Echo figure,
right?
They cast in one color. They cast by color,
right?
And do as minimal a what would you call it a paint job as possible. So you have Davy Jones, and he has his arm and his the texture of his arm and everything else, but it's all cast in one color. That arm is just green.
Right.
No detail.
No nothing.
Yeah. It really is kind of the what we were talking about before is the whole soda thing with Street Fighter, where soda actually did a less articulated, less finished version of some of the Street Fighter figures early on. Those, of course, would be the one in Fantastic's collection.
Right.
He loves to pick. I mean, it's not like I don't have both. It's like I love Street Fighter so much that I don't care.
Sure.
You know? That's it.
Well, shouldn't you care?
No.
Anyway, and what they did was they did those for the mass market, and I think that's the same case here.
Yeah, the comparison I was going to draw was looking at the Jack Sparrow figure in particular, his hands are kind of big, his arms are kind of short, his feet are kind of big. It's almost as though they're trying to do this Spidey and Friends, Jedi Force, Rescue Heroes.
Right. Kind of super kind of deformed,
feel,
deformed.
But for the Pirates of the Caribbean. And I guess you have to give it a little bit of leeway because it really is targeted towards that younger audience that really can't play with these NECA figures. Because these really aren't meant to be played with the NECA figures. They're meant to be displayed and, put in a collection. You have to give Zizzle a little bit of credit for what they're doing. They really are trying to corner that children's market. And I think that's a viable market. And I think they're probably going to sell. They'll probably do all right. Maybe closer to when the movie comes out. Not right now.
I've seen some people picking them up.
Yeah.
You know what else? They have a lot of other products as well, which I don't think would be in NECA's purview, per se, to produce. Like role-playing.
Yeah.
Accessories
like swords and masks.
Yeah,
and stuff. There's
stuff
like a room alarm.
Did you see that thing?
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
No, it talks.
Yeah, I know. The
like
mouth
the jaw.
Moves and the eyes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I.
Who is it?
I gotta get that. It's this. It's like
it's the logo. It's
the
that
logo?
Skull and crossbones logo with the red bandana
and the swords in the back.
I did. I saw that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. It's the same company that's putting out those figures. So that would be the Zizzle line.
What about Series 1? From Dead Man's Chest.
Well, that line contains another Jack Sparrow, although the outfit I think is a little different than some of the other Sparrow figures that we've seen in the past. I think he's got his full coat on, which that full leather coat on as compared to some of the other Jack Sparrow figures. Most of the other Jack Sparrow figures, I think he's just in his like vest and shirt. That figure, he has the coat on, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, it looks to me to be a different outfit than the one he wore in the first film.
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit different. It's closer to a shrunk down version of the 18-inch figure, I think.
Okay.
But the outfit is a little different. Will Turner's outfit is a little different. It's that outfit that he was wearing at the end of the movie, kind of, and it's a little scuffed up and dirty. Again, you kind of have to expect them to be in there. The other two figures in the line, though, one of which I really, really like, and one of which I'm kind of so-so about, maybe not so because of the figure, but more so because of the character, would be Davy Jones and Maccus.
Is it Maccus?
I think so. It's M-A-C-C-U-S, so I'm assuming the C's are hard C's.
Okay.
The Davy Jones figure, I think, looks fantastic. I really do. I really like that figure. I like the character design, and I'm really interested to see him in the film. The Maccus figure is a really good figure, and I don't think that I want to pin the blame on NECA here. Because the figure looks nice. The sculpt is very nice. Looks great. I'm just kind of questionable about the character.
Right.
And so I'm casting a bias on the figure. I know that Maccus is part of Davy Jones' army, which is this whole amalgam of human beings and creatures from the sea, is what his army is supposed to be comprised of.
Right.
So I understand it. I guess I'm just questionable about the character from the film. But the figure looks great, so you have to give NECA its credit there.
Did you see that Davy Jones has more hands?
He comes with a bunch of different accessories. I actually really like his hat.
One, two, three.
I do. The hat, three. The hat accessory is really, really cool. Yeah.
Not to harp on the difference between the two, but I saw the cheaper one. Over
the Zizzle
one? Yeah, the Zizzle one over in Walmart, and I was kind of like, wow, what a crappy piece. And now when I look at this one over here, this is almost on par with those like McFarlane Horrors, you know, line and stuff. It looks good. It's a scary looking figure. It's a lot of detail and stuff, but it's cool.
Well, for McFarlane really launched that style of figure with the Movie Maniacs lines back in the day.
Oh, and, even before that.
And now, well, with the Spawn figures, but the horror feel, right, that unique sculpt feel was the Movie Maniacs line, based on the Movie Maniacs line. And now there have been a couple of other companies that have really come into the spotlight, and in my personal opinion, have done better work than some of McFarlane's stuff in the recent past, at least.
Right.
I think NECA puts out a fantastic product. I think Soda Toys puts out a great product with their...
Now Playing.
Is it Now Playing?
Yeah.
What's the... Cult Classics is the... that's the NECA line, right?
Yeah.
So Now Playing, Cult Classics, Soda, NECA. Those are really the two outstanding companies right now, I think, for that style of figure.
Right.
Again, you really have to give NECA its credit. I really think you should go and grab these. If you have children and they really are into Pirates of the Caribbean, these aren't the toys for them. Go and grab the Zizzle toys because it's probably better for them. Less loose pieces, less likely to choke or die. Always more gooder.
It's a great collection. I mean,
the Pirates figures?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're fantastic.
The NECA figures. It's a great collection. I think displayed altogether will probably be pretty fantastic looking.
Now, there are a couple pieces from this line that we don't have here that I just want to hit upon real quick. One of which, I believe they're doing a 12-inch Davy Jones figure, I heard, which baffles me because...
12-inch?
That's why it baffles me, because the Jack Sparrow figure was an 18-inch. So it would stand to reason that if they were going to do a large-scale figure... And NECA normally does 18-inch figures. I don't think they normally do 12-inch. So
that
could have been
up.
A typo. The other thing that we don't have here but I want to talk about is the Cursed Jack and Cursed Barbossa 2-pack, which looks
phenomenal.
Fucking great, man. It's the Cursed Pirates, but this time they're specific Cursed Pirates,
right.
Cursed Jack. That Cursed Pirate look, NECA has got that down pat.
Yeah.
They are great, great, great looking skeleton creepy figures.
Right.
And I hope that they do more in future lines.
One would almost hope. We know for sure that Elizabeth Swan as a pirate is going to appear in
Series 2 of Dead Man's Chest. I don't know what else, although I could take a gamble at a couple of the figures.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be other characters. I don't know that they're going to... Maybe Series 3 might be the end of Curse of the Black Pearl, though.
I think it is.
So, I mean, we might not get those other ones.
I don't know. It depends. There might be some skeleton pirates in the movie. I don't know. There are crossovers in the new movie. You know, Barbossa comes back as part of Davy Jones' army, I think, at one point.
They should do a con-exclusive 2-pack.
There is a con-exclusive Jack Sparrow figure coming out this year from NECA. It's the Cannibal Jack. It looks great with the painted eyes on his face.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it's not going to be great, but again,
yeah,
that's a figure you could do in the line.
I guess,
I think the con exclusive should be stuff that they that they can't produce in the line for whatever reason.
Just do a cursed pirate bag.
Not even a bag. Just do a 2-pack. Sure. Just pick two of them and do them. You know, or do a couple of them. Do a cursed and uncursed version in a pack.
Yeah, that'd be
like the dreadlock guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the dreadlock guy and the cursed dreadlock guy in a pack. Put the tall, as you pointed out, black feller and the cursed tall black feller in a pack.
Right.
You know, like do something like that.
Sure.
I mean, that's something. You know what I mean?
They should actually do
the cannibal figure. He should occupy that slot in like wave 2 or 3 in the whatever cursed.
They should
David
do
Jones.
A 2-pack of a cursed Rigetti in and Pintel. That'd be cool.
Right.
That'd be pretty cool since they're regular versions.
Characters have already been done of them.
Yeah. But I think that probably wraps the segment up as far as these figures go. You should definitely pick them up. I got mine at Spencer Gifts. Spencer's has them. Hot Topic has them. Tower Records has them. One day Suncoast may have them again when they start carrying figures again. Places like that. It's your secondhand retailers. You can get them online if you want. You can get them at cons and fairs and stuff like that. So they're out there.
Of course, you can always look for them.
eBay alert. eBay alert. eBay alert.
On eBay, of course. And you definitely should pick them up and stay, you know, we'll talk about them more. Yeah.
Great collection. Yeah. Great job by NECA. Matt, when you're online and you're looking for some fantastic collectibles, you want to head over to timeandspacetoys.com.
They carry a wide assortment of toys and collectibles, including a selection of figures created exclusively for timeandspacetoys.com from hit shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Stargate SG-1.
So head on over to timeandspacetoys.com, check out the website, find some nice products, and go ahead and get them. TimeandSpaceToys.com, where pop culture meets nostalgia.
So we're back now, here in episode 12, the Apocalypse Wave.
That's a cool name.
Speaking of apocalypse.
Speaking of things that suck.
Well, I don't know if apocalypse sucks.
The name was cool.
It's all right. Kind of.
Shut silly. Up.
Anyway, speaking of kind of silly, let's get right into X3.
Okay.
We saw it. We actually hosted the midnight event.
We did.
Here in Clifton, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And, well, what did you think? Let's start with you. What did you think about the movie? What was your opinion?
I thought the story was weak and the visuals were compelling.
Okay. Do you care to elaborate?
You care
on
to
that?
Speak into your mic.
Do you care to elaborate on that or no? That's all you're going to say? The story was weak and the visuals were compelling.
No, that's not all I'm going to say. I'm going to let it build.
Okay.
Normally, I would say that Kevin's being like rude or curt or trying to be wise. No, I know. Normally, I'd say that. But now I'm going to say, I agree. It's just, it was like going to the movies and then you watch the movie and it just did nothing to you or for you. Did not make you think of anything.
It disturbed me.
It kind of made me a little angry by the time I left. Yeah. But in terms of, I, you know, the second one at the end, I was like, yeah, you know, that was a good interpretation, good little story that they told. And I was satisfied. This I was like, it was like the wind blew, and that was it.
The movie was a humongous cop-out.
Okay.
Humongous cop-out. Not one thing in the movie, is irreversible.
Well, anything's irreversible.
But the point is that they set it up to be, it's the last stand, and characters die, and things happen to characters,
right.
And... It's bullshit.
And then they take it all back.
Yeah, it's
the
all
end.
Bullshit. They take every bit of it back in the last 3 minutes
okay.
of the movie.
Now, while I agree with you, and while it's frustrating, we're talking about a comic book movie, and just, you know, a couple minutes ago when we were talking off mic about comic books and X-Men books, we were talking about characters dying and coming back all the time. It happens all the time in comic books.
Right.
So why can't it happen in a comic book movie?
The difference is, one, you sit down for 2 hours or so, and
right.
then the guy dies in the beginning, and he comes back by the end, and there's just no sense of, you know, anything actually happened there.
There's no sense of permanency to it. Permanency?
Is yeah, permanence. No, what you're saying, I agree. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that I disagree. I'm just saying that I don't know that the argument... I agree that it was frustrating, but in my opinion, nothing's final when it comes to comic books and comic book movies.
I had a problem with the whole balance of power thing. Number one, them like trying to clearly identify who has this much power, and it's like a level 5 class, whatever, mutant is coming this way. And
they
I don't
did
know
that
if that's
in
the book or not, but mm-hmm. like to me, that's like saying to the audience, you are dumb. We're going to tell you right now who is the stronger of two mutants
right.
by applying a number to them.
Yeah, you know, in the books, they always seem to do it specifically when dealing with Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, because she really was always classified as that most powerful mutant, that bigger and better than anybody else was or could be.
Right. They always have a pandering way to deal with levels. And the other one in the Marvel Universe is strength. Who's stronger, the Hulk or the Thing or
right.
Spider-Man? Or, you know, and then they have class this,
sure.
class that, and... Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, and the fact that translated over the movie, okay, it's kind of a moot point when you take everything else into consideration. The fact that they had to sit down and tell us over and over that she's the strongest mutant, it's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
All
and
right,
show you,
fine.
With a blink of an eye or a thought or whatever, she can just kill somebody.
Yeah.
In a way that was like, you know, she turned them into little nerves flying through the air, like little balls.
Right. She just dusted them.
Yeah, it was just so unsatisfying to see. To see that happen.
Yeah.
Well, I want to put the blame, I think, where it belongs for this movie. Because everything that I read and everybody that I talk to, the finger is pointed in one direction, and I think it's the wrong direction. I think that everybody, or I know that everybody, because you know, everybody I've spoken to, points the finger directly at Brett Ratner. And I don't fault Brett Ratner for this film.
Then I... And you disagree.
I fault the writers of the film, which was not Brett Ratner.
Nope.
And I fault Bryan Singer.
Well, it's right out of the gate to fault Bryan Singer because Bryan took himself and his writers and left.
Right.
So without the benefit of having those guys to come in and go, wait a minute, this is completely ridiculous.
Right.
We got a lot of completely ridiculous in the movie. Now, I agree with you to the point that you can't really blame Brett Ratner, but you can blame Brett Ratner because the buck stops at Brett Ratner.
But I didn't have a problem with the direction of the movie. I had a problem with the storyline of the movie.
Look, any director, if he's directing a piece of shit, is going to do something about it. The fact that he didn't care that he was directing a piece of shit kind of puts the ball back in his
court.
But
see, I think he salvaged... the action sequences, which really was the only part of the movie that was good. It was the driving force of the movie, I thought, really.
Even those.
I'm
not saying they weren't good. I'm not saying we didn't see a lot of mutants using their powers. We didn't see a lot of characters who, in some way, were reminiscent of characters that we're familiar with in the books. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that, in the broader scope of things,
mm-hmm.
it's at Ratner's foot. You know, it's at his feet. The buck stops with the director. The movie is the director's vision of that story. You know, and if he had a problem with that story, there isn't, and you know Ratner did some rewrites of some stuff in this movie. He had to. No director goes in and goes, well, I'm going to take it as is and not rewrite anything or... not refocus things in a different direction. That just doesn't happen ever.
Right.
And if that happened here, then it's definitely to Ratner's penalty or the opposite of credit.
Right.
You know, it's definitely on him that he did that.
Right.
Story-wise, I need your guys' help here. As not an absolute expert. What was going... yeah, yeah.
Get it?
Yeah. What was going on with the Brotherhood? Like, why were they a bunch of homeless mutants with these powers that really didn't make any sense?
Okay.
Can you tell me about that?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Again, this is a decision made by probably whoever was the production designer or, you know, again, the writers and so on and so forth. It's not that they were homeless or not. If you view it this way, they're mutants, so they're outcast from society.
Right,
especially
that's how I
if
viewed
they
it.
Have a very predominantly physical attribute that makes them stand out.
I didn't even think that was the case. Like, you tell me who's really from the comic and who they made up. What was with the girl whose power was to move quickly and
Callisto.
Detect powers?
Yes.
Those are real powers?
Yes.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't go together.
No.
And not without explaining it. Maybe if they explained it to some extent, it would make sense.
She's pulled from a group in the book called the Morlocks, who were a bunch of mutants that lived in the sewers of New York underground.
Right.
And their deal was they were too, in most cases, too physically abhorrent to live amongst people, too physically, identifiable as mutants to live safely among humans with things like the Mutant Registration Act and the...
So they were blatantly ugly mutants, so they were outcasts, and they're the bad guys.
And Callisto was technically was their leader until Storm kicked her ass.
Right.
What's the genesis of it? What, her powers don't make sense.
There is no
she's
genesis.
A mutant.
There's no genesis. That's it. She's a mutant. There's no genesis to her. There's no genesis to any of these.
She has super speed?
Yeah, but I don't remember her. I don't remember if specifically it was super speed as much as she was a bit quicker. I don't think it was super speed like the like her power in the movie, she was the Flash.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't recall it being like that in the book per se.
How about the Porcupine guy?
No idea. No idea.
No, I think he was original for the
Could be created for the film, but no idea whatsoever of who he is or where he's from. And if somebody knows differently, don't hesitate to head on over to the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and write on in and tell us, because I've been reading X-Men books for 28 years, and I don't recall a Porcupine guy.
There was also a guy who kind of looked like Toad.
See
him?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a guy who was
supposed to be Toad? Or?
I don't think so.
Well, see, now there were some rumors for a while that were floating around after the first film that Toad and Sabretooth both were going to come back in the third film.
Right.
So I don't know if maybe something happened with the contracts and that was some sort of throwback to that character without it directly being the character.
Right. You don't need Tyler Mane in the film because you have Juggernaut.
Right.
So you don't need another big bulky guy.
Right.
And since Wolverine has to square off with everybody else, there's no sense in having him just square off with Sabretooth.
It's that whole mentality that kills it for me. It's like, we already got a blue guy. We can only have one big guy.
That's exactly
exactly what happened.
Unfortunately, that's the thinking in Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what, again, that's what gave us Beast, unfortunately, and took away Nightcrawler, unfortunately.
Which Beast, by the way, I suppressed laughter during his parts. Not to say that Kelsey Grammer didn't do it justice, but him walking around straight, erect was like so weird, and the wave going in his hair and the skin, and it was just so disturbing, and it wasn't any good.
I don't know. I kind of liked Beast.
You liked him?
I did. And Beast is one of my favorite X-Men characters, too. So he was the least of my problems with that movie. I had a ton of other problems with that movie.
Well, I mean, if we're gonna take them one at a time, let's finish the issue of why the Brotherhood looks the way that they do. I think it's a choice made by the studio to say that we're gonna dress all the bad mutants so they all look like punk rock band rejects, so to speak, including Arclight, who for a while there I couldn't tell whether it was a girl or a guy.
Which one was that?
Arclight was the one that clapped and destroyed all the guns.
Kind of looked like Prince.
There is a character Arclight in the books, I'm pretty sure, and I don't know what his, her, her powers are.
Apparently it's Guiles from Street Fighter.
Yeah. The one I did like in that they put in the film was, even though they didn't call him Marrow, was Marrow.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yes.
And I love the way that they did that. My only problem with that was the fact that they only showed bones coming out of his wrist and that he was a he.
Right. Marrow was definitely not
definitely a girl and could have easily been translated with their pink hair and punk attitude, easily been translated as a girl.
Yeah, in fact, Marrow the male in the movie kind of looked like he belonged in Predator or something. It wasn't like he was one of the punk rock kids or, you know, degenerates with the rest of them. I was kind of confused at that point. I was like, what is this guy in the army? Is he part of the government? And then he's suddenly chasing Wolverine.
Well,
so.
I think if you had to have a rationale for that, I think you're supposed to imply that like Magneto probably drew in a bunch of people from that group of punk rock vagabonds, but he also had a bunch of other people, mutants that were willing to follow him, and together it made up this army that he was putting together. I mean, I think that's probably the rationale there.
Homo sapiens and their guns.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my Ian McKellen impression.
It's not bad.
I liked it.
So what about the cure?
What cure? What cure? The bullshit cure, you mean? Yeah. The one that they cured at the end of the movie? That cure?
Yeah. That one.
Yeah, another humongous cop-out. Humongous cop-out. Because at the end of the film, you have Magneto, who has been depowered.
Right.
By having the cure injected into him. And he sits there and he's sitting at a chessboard outside that has metal pieces, for starters. And then he moves his hand and the little king wiggles.
They took that Pixar animated short. Was that Jerry's Game or something like that with the old guy playing chess against himself? And they replaced it with Magneto.
Yeah, and then he wiggles and you see the little metal figure wiggle.
And you're supposed to be surprised.
And you're supposed to be, well, I for one was surprised because since they're calling it the end, you know, the last stand and all that, you figure there would be, again, some permanency to it. And if you're going to depower Magneto and let him live out his life as a human being and not kill him, which is what they did.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, yeah, you know, that's funny you say that. I was surprised. I was kind of like, wow, I can't believe it's that dumb.
Yeah.
Because they show the gravestones at the end and you're like, wow, I kind of do have a little bit of sense of that things are over here.
Yeah.
And then they take two of them back.
Oh, there aren't.
Clearly. Well.
Oh, there aren't. No, none of it. None of it. So there's nothing permanent about those gravestones either.
What about...
Jean Grey died in the last film, too. She came back.
What about Cyclops?
Did you see Cyclops die?
I did not.
Yet everybody else in the film that supposedly died, you saw die. But you don't see Cyclops
die.
But
Kevin, I saw his ruby glasses.
Did you?
Ruby Oakleys.
Did you? She took them off. I can control it now. He's easily in some psychic
realm?
Powered coma thing like she was at the bottom of that stupid
also
lake.
Also a dumb explanation, like she's cocooned herself in psychic energy.
That's
that
from the book.
I don't like it.
That's
like
from
it.
The book.
I don't like it.
That's what they did in the book. They killed her in the book as Phoenix. As Dark Phoenix, they killed her in the book and she was in this cocoon there. She was found by the Fantastic Four.
So if she's in the cocoon, she's not dead. She's in the cocoon.
No, exactly, but they didn't know she was in a cocoon.
No, she's in the unknown. What was it, the absence of fire? Wasn't there fire in the second one that accompanied her power when it was like unbridled? It was about to be...
Yeah.
Well, that was the Phoenix aspect
that
of
was
it,
the
I
Phoenix
aspect.
Right,
well,
but
that's
then
when,
they dropped the fire for the
Well, because
the third
they
one.
Didn't... Yeah, well, because probably at that point they decided somehow we'll tie fire into this whole situation. But then when they decided we're going to go with the whole it's a dual personality thing.
Yeah.
Which was a great explanation for the film because you can't explain it otherwise.
Yeah. For the film, it was a good explanation. It was a good way to cover up the whole alien being present storyline that was the Phoenix in the books. So that didn't bother me. I thought that was a good cover up.
Right.
I agreed with that.
Let's talk about Juggernaut.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, besides the corny lines, I thought that
the corny lines based on a fan
Internet.
Dub, an online fan dub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
hey,
I thought
I,
which
Jones,
I happen to think is funny. The online
I had a chuckle
fan dub, but not in the movie.
Smack you with my pip cane. Bitch.
Exactly.
I thought Vinnie Jones did a great job.
I agree.
But here's my problem with Juggernaut:
the helmet.
Not a mutant.
Yeah, wasn't it the helmet that gave him the power?
Juggernaut's not a mutant. He
a
was affected by that crystal, remember?
Yeah.
Found that crystal in a cave,
oh,
turned him into Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Not a mutant.
Well, do they call him a mutant in the film?
Yep.
They do?
Whenever he gets going.
Is that Leech the kid? Is that
Leech?
Yeah. So, he's affected by his little power when he's in the area.
Yeah.
Whenever he gets going, nothing can stop him. He has forward momentum.
Oh, God. Stop it. What a dumb explanation. Speaking of
Kitty
Leech,
Pryde was good.
Yeah, she was cool.
She's hot, that little girl. Ellen, her name is.
You're going to have to.
Yo, yeah. No, you got to see Hard Candy. You see the movie she did, Hard Candy?
No.
I heard it's really good. I think it might be out of theaters already, though.
I did not appreciate the way Leech's powers affect Beast's hand, and then it just goes back to blue.
Why?
Well, that made sense, though.
That's how his power.
It's changing his genes back to human genes.
Yeah, but it's what it's doing is it's muting the mutant effect on his body.
It's pushing the mutant DNA from his. There's DNA in every cell.
There is?
Yeah. Shut up. I'm trying to explain this to you, and you're going to give me this attitude.
That I thought was actually kind of.
I should just let you wallow in your ignorance.
I know. In my horror.
There's DNA in every cell, so when he gets closer, it pushes the bad DNA back.
I guess.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that winged guy. What was his name again? Is that
Wingman?
Angel?
Was that supposed to be Angel?
Not because they called him Angel.
Because aside from the name. You know, the Worthington name and all that. He was really a waste of screen time. They could have used any generic mutant to fill the role that he filled in that movie.
Well, I think the point is that Angel's one of the original X-Men, so you got to try to throw him in there somehow.
Yeah, but at least use him then. I mean, use him more than they did.
They did. They used him to prove a point.
Yeah, didn't he show up at the mansion?
Yeah.
First of all, how do you get into the mansion?
And just, when you can
and
fly.
Like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, you fly over the wall.
Dude, I'm guessing if you walk up to the gate and there's a dude there and you're like, I got wings, they're probably opening up the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're
thinking he fits the criteria.
Doesn't the place like house a blackbird, like a jet?
Yeah.
Like a,
yeah, underground. Yeah.
Under the basketball court.
So you think they'd have some sense of some security system going there that.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. All right.
Well, Professor X can sense the mutant presence.
He was dead.
He was evaporated.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was
evaporated.
They also pronounce his name differently in the movie. Did you notice that? One part, Kelsey Grammer, I think, says Professor Xavier, and other times they say Professor Xavier.
That's just Kelsey Grammer. Yeah. Oh good lord.
Using his stage presence.
Yeah.
You can't say "Oh good lord," dumbass. God.
Because it's not a funny clip that we've all seen online 100 times.
No, it isn't.
Anyway, so I think Angel was really wasted, and it was disappointing. I think I liked Angel. I was really excited about Angel. If you remember when we talked about the trailer, one of my favorite scenes in the trailer was that scene with Angel where he breaks out of the building and soars over the crowd, and I was getting all like pumped and ready to go, and then it was just like...
They never showed him doing combat, nothing. So you knew he wasn't going to do any sort of combat. And all he did was rescue his dad.
Yuck.
Which sucked, because his dad should have bid it so that he would inherit the money.
Right. Let's talk about Storm.
Yeah, let's
another
talk about Storm.
Shit performance by Holly Berry.
She is just fucking awful.
She really got into character after Monsters Ball. She just should have quit acting. Should have been done.
She got a haircut.
Ooh,
that's new wig. Yet another wig.
Yet another shitty movie for Storm.
The worst part about the haircut is that they acknowledge it and they're like, "Hey, you got a haircut."
Yeah,
well, I'm sure Halle Berry.
In-joke.
I'm sure Halle Berry probably put something in there. You know, you have to give me more recognition, so say something about my haircut. Yuck.
I think you know, and then of course she's the heir apparent to the mansion. If something should happen to Professor X, they're setting up him dying right from the beginning.
Yes, right. With the exception of they've
Scott's
already talked about him possibly
man.
Coming back.
Scott's so upset. He'll never get over this, apparently.
Scott doesn't shave anymore.
Let's talk about Scott.
Okay.
First of all,
do you know the story behind James Marsden in this film?
No.
James Marsden did not want to do this film.
Oh, no.
He did not want to do it without Bryan Singer
at
the helm. In fact, he's in Superman.
Yes, I heard that. We talked about that today, I think.
Yeah, and... He did not want to do this film without Bryan Singer. They really, really begged him to come. And I think I heard a rumor that maybe it was Famke Janssen or somebody on that level.
Yo,
maybe.
If Famke Janssen asked me to do that film, I'd do that film too.
Famke Janssen asked me to do a commercial for the Ku Klux Klan, I'd get you. But then after that, I would probably...
Thanks.
Again, just
painting
saying.
Me to look awful.
So listen, but I think it was something along those lines, like Famke Janssen or Patrick Stewart or somebody, maybe actually put a phone call into him, was like, please do this, right. and so the reason you don't see any Cyclops in the movie is because they contracted him for like a week.
I don't mind the fact that they killed him. Believe me,
They killed him. Did you see him die?
I don't mind the fact that they killed him. I'm doing the air quotes.
I hope he's dead.
They killed him. I don't mind that. What I do mind, or what really bothered me, was the fact that it was just kind of happened, and then that was it. There was no like real grieving.
God.
There was no addressing of it. Just kind of, oh, Cyclops is dead. Shucks.
Oh my God, you killed Scott.
Yeah, there was nothing real like. And then they never brought it up again, and like
Logan.
Except in like little bitty piece. It was just
saw a headstone. That's closure.
Yeah, great.
No, first great. No, you didn't see him die. It's like I said, the whole thing is a cop out. Right. The cure is not a cure. You don't see Cyclops die yet. Every other person dies. You see Professor X die, but then he's alive at the end of the movie.
If you stay after the credits.
Yeah, right. If you stay after the credits.
Let's talk about Wolverine.
Okay.
Did you enjoy him in the film?
Sure.
I didn't.
I always enjoy the Wolverine film version.
I really like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I like the character of Wolverine in the films. But I think that with this new creative team, he became very flat in the movie. He was very dynamic in the first two films.
Right.
And I think he lost that in this movie.
They pussified him.
Yeah.
They pussified him by making him the love story with Famke Janssen, which should, I mean, there's always that underlying tension, and I think they actually hook up now, or did hook up, and I think she's dead again in the comics, I think. Jean Grey. I think she's dead again. And, you know, I think the whole thing that they find each other in love, it's just so dumb.
But you know what? They could have, they
he
could
was
have made
fantastic
him the love interest.
In the Danger Room sequence. That was Wolverine right out of the box.
Okay. So for the first 3 minutes of the film, he was Wolverine.
Yep.
But I don't think that making him the love interest is what hurt him. I really think they just flattened out his character. I think they made his emotions very like one-dimensional. And it was like, I'm the love interest. There was no real
nothing real fantastic about him.
You're both right. But I think that they flattened him out too to kind of make you forget a little about him so they could put him in that end sequence and show you how much torture he could actually go through, and then you would say, oh, he's really a badass. But still, that didn't make any sense to me, because if she has such power that can just dismantle reality, you know, adamantium doesn't
but you
stand.
See
well it's the healing
but,
factor
no,
that
no,
saved
well,
him
yeah,
at the
oh, no,
I mean,
is
she
it,
just
is it I have a completely different take on that.
What's your
she couldn't really kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Because she could have killed him in a second.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
She could have dusted him like everybody else.
The impression that I got from the film was that it was the healing factor that
was
keeping
him alive. Well, the
impression
I got from the film was that she couldn't really unleash all of her power on him because she loved him.
Was the healing factor that strong in the books over
no,
time?
No, that's how he dies. So. That's how he dies. In Days of Future Past, the fucking Sentinel just blasts all his skin off and he's dead.
Wait, wasn't there an episode? Wasn't there an issue of one of the Punisher Knights one where he gets acid thrown in his face and he has a skull face and his face grows back?
If there was,
I think
bad
that there
continuity.
Is. I think that there is. And he walks around with like a skull face.
I don't know. If that's true, that's a bad continuity error, because that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
And that's how they, in Days of Future Past, that's that famous cover where you see them, the Sentinel blasting him, like, and like, I think I'm pretty sure he died that way in that storyline.
Huh. And what about the Sentinels? Since you brought them up,
what Sentinels?
Lack
exactly.
thereof.
No, there was one in the danger.
There was
room.
One in the danger room.
Exactly.
It wasn't addressed as a Sentinel.
And you saw
right?
his head land.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
that's it.
But remember, there was all this talk about the Sentinels playing a major role in the film and stuff. What the?
You were duped.
What the hell happened?
Duped. Just like you were drawn in by that whole black costume bullshit.
Oh, there's another photo that surfaced online this past week. I didn't bring
it
because I didn't want to beat a dead horse.
I don't see it.
I didn't bring it. But there's another one that...
The point is that that's just one of those things that they threw out there to throw everybody off.
I don't know. I left the film, the night that we saw it, I left the film feeling very conflicted. because there were parts of it that I did enjoy. There were parts that I liked that made me feel like maybe this wasn't a complete waste of my time.
Like seeing Iceman as Iceman?
See, I love that, but I wish you wouldn't have reverted back so quickly.
Did you ever even get to see him do the Iceman
no.
flying?
No, he doesn't
maneuver?
Do that no? in the movies. But he did turn.
But he did go all ice.
All ice.
Finally.
Which is
and it was cool.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. little things like that I him really and, liked. And it was like.
Him and Pyro's little fight was, yeah. you know.
Yeah. It was what it was.
It's like dumbed down X-Men. Yeah. Fire versus ice. We number the yeah. mutants, you know.
Yeah.
You can turn their powers on and off. Well, here's the bad guys. They're dressed in black. That's what I thought of it.
And the cure. And Rogue takes the cure. Because she wants to touch her boyfriend's cock.
Yeah, but apparently she's not going to be cured
nope.
either, I'm guessing.
Nope.
Somebody's in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. yeah. Somebody's going to get the best, worst blowjob of his life.
ah!
Oh, my God. This is so amazing.
I'm dead.
Dead. So now that it's over, there's all these talks about what's next. We know the Wolverine movie's coming next.
Is it?
The Wolverine movie is coming next. Hugh Jackman has a major role in the behind the scenes of that as well.
Uh-huh.
But there's also this little whirlwind going around about
$122 million its opening weekend.
Well, yeah.
They're up to almost 160.
Oh no, it's doing fantastic in the box office. No.
That's
but
guarantees it, you an X-Men 4.
See, I don't think that it's going to be X4 though. I think it's really going to be this other New Mutants type storyline that they're talking about, where they're going to focus on some of the younger characters, and you might have cameos by some of the main characters.
I don't think they can do that without doing a 4, because what do you have right now? You have Storm and Beast running the Beast, because Beast's now the fucking government guy again. So do you have Storm running the school? Who are the other teachers? Storm and Wolverine? Well, Wolverine's going off on his own movie, so.
Right.
Yeah, so but what does that leave
supposedly
you?
Storm, possibly a prequel,
which
so.
Is Halle Berry, which won't do another movie.
Right.
So what you need to do is.
They
you
can
need
introduce
to,
Emma Frost. Well, they're talking about giving her own movie, I heard recently, too.
Well, what they should do is. I don't know about introducing Emma Frost per se, but what they need to do is they need to replace Storm.
Right.
With a more mature. It's time to give it over to
somebody else.
Angela Bassett. It's time to just give it to
Angela.
They
could bring
Bassett.
Back Patrick Stewart.
That's the point, I think, of X4. I think is the fact that they need to tie up those loose, and they're all loose ends at this point. They're going to do a Magneto movie too.
Yeah, that's the rumor. The but it's prequel, not going to be Ian McKellen. It's going to be prequel. Yeah.
Prequel,
gonna
just like the prequel Silence of the Lambs movie that's coming out.
Oh, geez.
Young Hannibal.
We'll talk about that. Maybe next week.
But I think the point is that they need to, before they're going to go on and do a New Mutant storyline, you know, talking about the kids in school
right.
and all that, they need to tie up those ends. You can't have a school that doesn't have Professor Xavier as the head.
Well, then the problem is, who the hell are they going to get to do it? James Marsden isn't going to do it.
But see, James Marsden didn't want to do it because Brett Ratner was doing it.
So Bryan Singer's going to come back?
Who knows?
No.
Why not?
Because he's going to, after Superman, he's going to do Logan's Run.
That's... All right, what about after Logan's Run?
He's going to retire.
Well, it doesn't matter because the Wolverine movie is next anyway, so X-Men wouldn't even be in the cycle yet.
Okay.
And speaking of cycle, then you have Ghost Rider next year.
Right.
You
Fantastic
have Wolverine
Four.
Year after that. You
have
FF2, 3. Spider-Man 3, Iron Man, I think, is the year after
yep.
that.
Thor.
So,
listen, I'll rise to the occasion, and I will teach the new X-Men.
Nice. As Mr. Fantastic. See, it works.
Ugh.
What a terrible movie that would
be. Can't believe you wasted our time by chiming in that you're going to teach the new X-Men.
He looked interested, too, for a second. He was like it was going to be good. What were you thinking?
He was with you. He was on board
was
with you.
Dreaming.
And then you just threw it out there.
I was obviously dreaming that you had a good comment
you
to make.
Tripped him up. So I think that wraps up, finally, the X-Men segment. I think we finally...
You know he hates when you do that. That wraps
listen,
up.
Listen, why don't we do... to the X-Men segment what Brett Ratner did to the X-Men film.
Should
Why don't we pretend to kill it, and then if we want, we can always bring it back next week. If you stay after the last song from today's podcast, we'll revisit the X-Men segment. It'll be the teaser at the end of the podcast.
Oh, what an awful idea.
I know, that's what we're going to do it now, right?
Rock and roll.
Matt, on July 29th, from 10 to 6, the Ducrete School of Art is hosting Comics Sci-Fi Fantasy Day.
That's right. Your free admission to this show includes drawing lessons, portfolio reviews, tons of vendors, lots of comics and toys.
In addition to that, you can meet their guest artists, who include Mark Romanowski from Magic the Gathering, DC Comics, and Warcraft, William O'Connor, also from Magic the Gathering and Star Wars, and Tommy Castillo, who has worked on George Romero books and Batman.
That's right. This show is going to be at the Ducrete School of Art, located at 1030 Central Avenue in Plainfield, New Jersey, 07060. And you can go to www.ducrete.edu for more information.
I sure hope we're saying the name of the school right. Is it Ducrete?
If not, it's ducrete.edu.
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees, and Scotty doesn't know.
Matt, what's with this band Jacked?
Jacked is a fantastic New York and New Jersey cover band playing every Wednesday night at Murphy's Third Rail, located at 3 South Bergen Street in Dover, New Jersey. Jacked features great music from bands like Blink-182, Fall Out Boy, and much, much more.
Jacked!
For more information, you can check out www.yougotjacked.com.
Jacked!
Or myspace.com/jackedtheband.
Backsplash. And we're back on Geek Stuff, and this is the wrap-up. We're going to do it as quickly as we possibly can. Go!
No. I'm having a hard enough time talking tonight as it is. You want me to do it a la Micro Machines, man? Because screw
it's,
you.
It's funny when you fuck up.
No, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. I'll do it fast, but I ain't doing it that fast. In our current events segment, we talked about
He doesn't like it when
Superman.
You call it the current events segment.
We talked about the Superman 3D portions of the film for the IMAX and how awful it is again. And I don't even want to say anything else about it. So.
A bad idea off of a bad premise. Of what will probably be not such a hot flick.
If you're really that
Everyone and their mother will see it, however.
If you're really that interested in seeing it in 3D on IMAX, go find it online somewhere. After that, we talked about Jessica Alba's statement regarding the Fantastic Four movie and the inclusion of the Silver Surfer in the movie in addition to another villain and whether or not it will be Galactus or somebody else.
Nice. You got out Silver Surfer without screwing up.
I know. I'm very proud of myself.
We also talked about Neil Gaiman's new Marvel project, The Eternals, which will be coming out at the end of this month and written by one Neil Gaiman. And everybody should check out this comic book. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yes, I agree. We also talked about Spider-Man 3 and this announcement that there's going to be a fourth villain in the film.
Which we kind of assumed already.
Well, I don't think we assumed it would be a full-fledged villain, though. I think we always kind of thought that these certain characters would be there in the background, but what their actual status was is actually questionable. It sounds like this is actually going to be a villain. Again, my speculation would be it's going to be the Lizard. It seems to make the most sense. Kurt Connors being in the first two films and making an appearance again in this film stands to reason that that would be the villain they're going to choose.
And then we went right into our discussion of NECA's pirate figures.
We did.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dead Man's Chest.
Dead Man's Chest. It's a great collection of figures with some superb detail, not to be confused with the Zizzle mass market versions, which are okay for the... 7 to 9 set, I guess.
Right.
And you should definitely pick these up. They're fine sculpted, fine detailed, excellent figures.
like we've come to expect from NECA. Like we've come to expect from Marvel in recent history, we then move directly into X3, and what an atrocity it turned out to be.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Right. Atrocity might be
atrocity's kind of
harsh.
You got to save that for Elektra and Catwoman.
Right.
Those are atrocities. This was just disappointing.
It was poorly executed and ill-written.
Poorly written, I would say. Visually, it was kind of okay. I think one of the things I failed to mention during that segment is I thought the way that they handled Jean Grey, especially at the end of the film when they lose and they rear-lit her and all the things are spinning around and everything, that's very reminiscent of the book.
Yes.
Which I thought was really good. So I'm going to say, yes, definitely poorly written. And even though you won't blame Brett Ratner, I will. And I will say that the buck lies, you know, the buck stops at Brett Ratner. And if it was that bad, maybe some rewrite should have occurred.
It sucked.
And on that note, we cue the music.